B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Friday afternoon, it was announced in a joint statement that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have settled their case against the NFL. They had alleged collusion on the part of NFL owners. The league announced along with them and through their attorney, Mark Garagos, a settlement having been reached between all the sides, which we assume, probably correctly so, that there was a large payout of money to these players for such a settlement because they felt they had a strong case and they showed no signs of folding, none. So the two sides reached the settlement and, well, two players in both Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick beat the NFL. In my mind, they won their fight against the NFL. And even if you can't stand Colin Kaepernick and you can't stand Eric Reid and you don't like these players and you don't like what they've done, at least stand there for a minute and say, hey, someone beat the league. Good for them. That doesn't happen very often. It doesn't. It doesn't often. This is a league that will fight tooth and nail. They will fight their former players on a concussion settlement. They will fight Tom Brady and take it to the highest level of court that they need to go to make sure that he does not beat them. This is a league that doesn't like to lose in the courtroom and rarely does.
Yeah.
And they got beat. They folded. They settled. They paid these guys off to end it, to end their suit, to end what they had alleged was the case. And I knew this as soon as Friday happened. I said, oh, I know what the spin will be on this. And I was reminded of this by a tweet from Mike Hurley, our former colleague, the dearly departed Mike Hurley.
Can I guess what it is?
Yes, go ahead.
Can I guess
what? And by the way, he was not saying this was true. He was, go ahead. What do you think?
I'm going to guess what the rationale is for the NFL regarding this case. Is that it's one of those deals where they said, you know what, we just wanted to get it over with because of the distraction that it is causing. There's not an admission of guilt. It is just, we're just.
His was more specific than that.
Okay.
His was specific to, and this is Hurley, Hurley was lamenting that we will have no shot at getting a peek at emails or text messages or deposition transcripts.
Oh,
that it's a confidentiality issue, that it's an issue of keeping things in secret, keeping things in house, not allowing the privacy of their owners to be sort of
out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, the privacy to be lost on the part of their owners. And the
I would love to know what's going on, the dirt behind
that. And you know what? That's not a slam dunk. There was a chance that through discovery that there would have been documents that were available for public consumption.
And you know there would be.
And so he was just saying, oh, it's too bad. We're never going to get those now. And I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be their defense. This is what they're going to use. They're going to try and spin it. And Peter King apparently already has. If you read his story, he's already trying to spin it that way. There are guys that will try and spin it, if they haven't already, in the coming days, that for the NFL, this was all about just, you know what, wrapping this thing up. They don't want it to be hanging over the league. Right. That's part of it, what you said, Ted. No doubt about it. They didn't want this to continue to linger and carry on. They wanted to put the anthem issues behind them. They wanted to move on. They wanted to not have to go through the process of a public relations fallout from whatever might be in those documents that could potentially be released. And they just wanted to wrap this thing up and move on. Yeah, I call bull crap.
Big time.
I call bull crap on that. Also, Mike Freeman reported on Mike Freeman reported on Friday that NFL executives were telling him they believed. Now, they didn't know for sure. He openly said that a lot of these, you know, executives that he had spoken to were speculating because they had not nailed down the number yet. And he said a number of NFL executives, they all believed it was between $60 and $80 million to pay out to Colin Kaepernick. Pro Football Talk had the over-under. They had set the over-under.
That's tax-free money, too.
At $49.5 million. They had set the settlement at $49.5 million. And they thought that it came in under that. And then they've since said, yeah, you know, they've now said, well, our sources say that $60 to $80 million number was too high and that was ridiculous. And so now...
I don't know about that.
Here's what we know.
I can see it being that high.
It was in the tens of millions of dollars. It was at least $1 million a team that they had to put up to make it go away. And you think that somehow that's convenient for them? No, they didn't. They didn't want to go through with this because they could have been hit for even more if they lost.
Oh, yeah.
If they lost, what would the settlement have been? Not settlement. What would the payout have been had they gone to court and lost the case? And as you said earlier, this isn't about proving that every single NFL team had gotten together and met and said, you know what? We don't want the. It's two. You need two teams. Two. That's it. To have spoken about it, to have, you know, said that they were not going to bring him in. Any one conversation between two teams, that's it. You're dead. Mm-hmm. Case is over. They folded.
Folded.
And it's over now. And he beat them. Kaepernick and Eric Reed, and this is more about Kaepernick. He's definitely the more higher profile player in this. He won. He beat the NFL.
It is a 50-50 split, do you think? Kaepernick and Reed?
I bet you it is.
Yeah.
That was probably a term agreed upon beforehand between the two.
I mean, when you're both suing for the same thing and you're both going into it together, you're probably doing a 50-50 split. Yes. I don't know.
Is that Eric Reed a sellout now? Like Malcolm Jenkins was a sellout? For settling the case? Remember he called Malcolm Jenkins a sellout?
No, I don't think Eric Reed's a sellout.
Yeah, but what was Malcolm Jenkins? Malcolm Jenkins stopped kneeling for
once they gave
he
him.
He said he co-opted what Colin Kaepernick started to fund his own organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So he said he basically was going against what he truly believed in because they were throwing money at him to not do it.
Exactly. No, settling. But they settled.
But has Eric Reed stopped doing what he was doing?
Is he still kneeling? Did Eric Reed kneel this year when he was playing for the Carolina Panthers? I think he did.
And he may have.
I think he did.
Okay, he may have, but he didn't do it for money.
Right.
He didn't do it for money.
He did it because
he got his money regardless of whether or not
he's not a sellout. Right? I think he would, right? If you sell out, if you...
Like, if he had been kneeling, right until the end of the season, and then he got the settlement, and next year he stops, then that's a sellout.
Okay. All right, so we have to wait until next year.
He has to keep kneeling. Right.
No, but I think he stopped already, though. Well, there's one picture of him kneeling in Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question, but I do know that Eric Reed just got a brand new contract, 3 years and $22 million last week, I should say.
This has been a good month for Eric Reed, isn't it?
His involvement in this has not stopped him from being employed, by the way. Oh, by the way. So Eric Reed...
Because he can still play.
Eric Reed can really play. Eric Reed came back after being, you know, I thought, shut out of the league. There's no reason why he should not have been signed in the offseason last year. He finally gets in Carolina, plays well. He got paid a decent amount of money last year. I don't think it was what... I don't think it was top of the market. Yeah, I don't think it was what he would have gotten had he been, you know, another player who was not connected to this, just hitting the market with his talent. But now he just re-upped 3 years and $22 million. So he's making good money again. It's not stopped him from being employed and making big money. Kaepernick, though, has from the very beginning been made the villain in all of this. He has been the easily identified villain for anyone that has been outspoken against what has happened in the NFL. And so I think there's a PR hit for Colin Kaepernick potentially being employed. Doesn't seem to be the case for the other guy involved here, which is Eric Reed. Meanwhile, the lawyer for Colin Kaepernick, Mark Garagos, who has already said in the past he thinks the Patriots could be a landing spot, the Patriots have come out and said, no,
He's just a lawyer trying to drum up interest.
All of a sudden, Garagos, even though he knows the team is willing to publicly say, no, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, what's he do? He goes back on TV and he drops the Patriots' name again.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, although I've been wrong once before on this. One of three teams picks him up. I mean, he.
Which three teams do you think will pick him up?
I think, look, the natural would be if Cam Newton is out, then the natural place to be is to play with Eric in Carolina. I mean, can you imagine? I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move.
That
would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
We're talking about Harbaugh? Who's in Michigan?
No, he's saying his former
coach.
Former coach of the Patriots. I think he's thinking Pete Carroll in Seattle. That rhymes. I didn't realize that.
Wait a minute. I thought he was talking about Kaepernick's former coach.
Kaepernick's former coach.
Oh, he's talking about Kaepernick's?
Yeah, Kaepernick's.
See, this is what wasn't clear. Was he talking about Bob Kraft's former head coach? Or was he talking about Kaepernick's former head coach?
And I'll let you guess on that one. And she's like, my feeling is who his former head coach was.
My guess is he's mixing up.
Who was the guy after maybe? Jim Harbaugh? The guy that was there for a cup of coffee, the D-line coach. But it had to be, he's got to be thinking maybe Jim Harbaugh.
I thought maybe he was talking about a former Patriot. Can we listen again? I thought he was maybe inflecting or suggesting there.
But, hey.
Based on the inflection there, I thought he may have been referring back to Kraft, not back to Kaepernick.
I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move. That would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
Is he talking about Bob Kraft's former coach or Colin Kaepernick's former coach?
My feel, it comes across as Colin Kaepernick's former coach. However, what you're thinking is very plausible. You know why?
Because there was already some reported interest there.
Because he actually brought Kaepernick in, Pete Carroll did, in Seattle. And he was the only team and the only coach that brought Kaepernick in a couple years ago in the offseason just for a visit, just to talk to him. And then, of course, didn't sign him and then said somebody would be lucky to have him. Somebody would be lucky to have Colin Kaepernick is what Pete, to that effect, is what Pete said after that meeting a couple years ago. So you might be right, Beagle.
That's how I sort of took it, was he's speaking about Bob Kraft, and then he says his former coach. And I'm like, wait, he's got to be referring to Pete Carroll.
Yeah, some of the stories that are online are saying it's the Seahawks.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You're right.
I'm not crazy. So no. Someone else thought that too.
It the same way, though.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to listen again. It's not clear one way or the other.
Right.
So either guess is plausible at this point, I guess.
But you're right, it is Pete Carroll. I love that a guy that's not in this world, this industry, not a guy that's in the know in the NFL, a lawyer, has got all these theories and just throwing out ideas. It's like, all right, bro.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't think everybody realizes, and I didn't realize this, how close Odell Beckham Jr. was to being traded last year, Mike. I mean, it was really close. Of course, we knew the conversations. You and I were at the owners' meetings together. But here's the big thing that I found out towards the end of the year, really, more than anything, with Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants were going to trade him, and I think they were really looking and listening to all offers. You know what really stopped it? And I think this is what's going to shock people. This is from everything I know of multiple sources. The thing that stopped the trade conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. is because the team that was most aggressive in pursuing him was the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots were trying to get Odell Beckham Jr. all last offseason. That didn't work out. And I think the Giants got cold feet and said, wait, New England wants him? Uh-oh, maybe he's better than we thought.
That's Chris Sims, works for Bleacher Report. He was on with Mike Florio on PFT.
Chris does a good job. I thought he's a little douchey at the start.
I love him.
It seems like he's kind of, you know.
He's always spitting a hot, ridiculous take.
Yeah, but his delivery's good. It's entertaining. He might be full of it, but I find him to be entertained.
Always entertained by him.
Yeah, I am too, man. Good for you, Chris.
And
I didn't believe in you at first. I'm a believer in you now.
Now I'm buying in.
I'm buying in.
So he had that yesterday. With Pro Football Talk. And by the way, I think that it, do you think his report's legit? Think he knows people in the Giants organization?
Yeah. I would say so. His dad played for that organization for a while.
I'll take it at face value. Yeah. Okay, he's talked to some people that work for the Giants, and they've told him this.
The only thing that has me a little bit confused, you guys, is when he mentions that they were looking to trade him all off last offseason. If we remember correctly, I mean, last offseason, the Giants also inked him to a nice long-term deal.
But don't forget, they also publicly were basically admitting that they were considering trades before they did that deal. So it's totally plausible. And there was a period where it was open market on Odell Beckham Jr. And they had to publicly at one point say, no, we're not trading.
Yeah.
They had to shut it down at one point, which may have been right after this timeline played out with Odell Beckham Jr. and possibly being aggressively pursued by the Patriots. And you think back to that time, the Patriots had just traded away Brandon Cooks. They lost Danny Amendola. He was off to Miami, and you had Julian Edelman facing a 4-game PED suspension. Mm-hmm.
Coming off a major knee injury.
And don't forget, the Patriots were still looking for a guy to sort of gain some talent at the position, and that's why they made a trade for Josh Gordon in the middle of the season. So they were shopping, but man, they were thinking big in the beginning if they were trying to go after Odell Beckham Jr., which if you make that deal and you give up probably what would have been required to obtain him, I guess is you want to pay him as well and you don't have concerns about his antics,
right,
if you will.
Right. It would have been the first time the Patriots have ever done anything like that. I think of all the positions, if you think about under Bill Belichick's tenure here with the Patriots, it seems like the one position that maybe running backs that he just has never valued as far from a monetary standpoint. He's just never paid. Okay, you did bring up Moss. I didn't realize he signed a big extension here. That I didn't realize. But that was the last time. That was a long time ago. I mean, more times than not, Belichick has never thrown a ton of money at a wide receiver, ever. So it'd be the first time he's ever done that, so which is a little surprising. But would he be the perfect fit for this? Absolutely. Absolutely, he would be. And it's a little surprising if that's the case, considering the offseason they had with OTAs and Tom not being there, the kind of backstory that we've heard about him and Bill with all the things that went on in the 2017 season, not being good and all that, to all of a sudden want to go get him probably one of the most talented, if not the most talented wide receiver in the league. As this shiny new toy, it's a little bit, I feel like, hard to kind of maybe believe, but Chris Sims got a pretty convincing way about putting that statement out there. I mean, maybe it is, and I'm just not seeing it.
So to go back to that deal that I referenced earlier, 3 years, $27 million, which is what Moss signed for back in March of 2008. It had $15 million in guarantees, and his agent at the time, Tim DiPiero, said that Randy took less to stay. So he was still, if you just take the big number and average it out, it's still a $9 million a year deal. That's still considerable money, but it was not considered top of the market. It wasn't considered top dollar. But it was in the ballpark for 2008 at $9 million mm-hmm. a year. In the ballpark, but not quite, nowhere near what you see now being paid out to top receivers. So that is what it is. That's the closest they've ever gotten to really investing in a big ticket item on the outside.
I would have loved
it. Took a first ballot Hall of Famer to do it. One of the best receivers of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Is Bill changing? Like, is it always been hard to predict Belichick's moves? I mean, do we feel like there's kind of a consistency in what he does, or do we feel like, you know what? I have no idea what he's going to do next. I mean, I feel like sometimes, just when you think you got him figured out what he's looking for in a player or what his philosophy is with paying players, that he kind of just has, there's a one-off there every now and then where you're like, wait, what? I mean, Stephon Gilmore was one of those. Like, wait, what? A guy from the outside, and you pay him all that money. And, I think Darrelle Revis was that. So he has these decisions that just don't maybe jive with his other decisions in the past. That makes sense.
We've got some breaking baseball news, Ted.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To the McCone Zone we go. What do we got, Tim?
All right, Jeff Passan just tweeting out, free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres. Machado to the Padres.
That's interesting.
Hot stove really heating up in Major League Baseball.
Didn't really see that one coming. I mean, I know that the Padres have been rumored to be in on him in the last few days, a couple weeks, whatever. But he goes to the Padres. It's great news. I think it's, first of all, it's great that he's not going to the Yankees. Yeah. That's good. It also feels like it's good for baseball that a guy's going to a market that, you know, that doesn't typically do this. Right? This is one of those cheap bastard type of teams.
Ugh.
That's finally going to obviously open up the wallet. Good for them. These are the things I've been complaining about. I want to know the money, though. The money's not out there yet. The money's not out there. Curious to know what the money is.
Look, it's one of those deals. He's going to go to the Padres, and you'll never hear from him again. That's what I feel like. I feel like it's kind of like Robinson Cano when he went to Seattle. Broke the bank, and then you never heard from him again. Manny Machado is going to go get his in San Diego, but when is the last time the Padres, well, you make his money, and that's great, but when's the last time they've done anything of any of relevancy? Like, yeah, that
20 years ago?
Forever and a day.
1998, yeah. World Series?
So he's going to make his money, but he's going to be in a soft market on a team that they never do anything, really, in the postseason. That team is about as under the radar as it gets. It's like you forget they have a team out there in San Diego, you know?
Stanton, Cano, A-Rod, don't all these deals end up getting flipped by the end of them when these small markets go all in on players like this?
Wouldn't you love to know the years on this thing? Like how many years?
So there was a report they were offering 8 years, 280. I wonder if it's going to come in at that or a little more, but probably going to be an eight-year deal.
Yeah, a lot of money is what it's going to be, and it's a small market team that's finally spending some of the money. There you go. Proof that these small market teams can spend and that they're all being cheap and they're pocketing the money. It's nice to see a team that said, no, let's go spend it and spend it on a player and let's try and get better. Now you got to continue to build around them, though. You got to continue to add. You got to continue to put together a team now. You can't just do it with one guy.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's it like blocking for him?
I mean, Tom's really one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life, and that's no bullshit on any stretch of the imagination. He's really a cool guy. That's really the only way I can say it. Like,
what makes him cool, Trent? What makes him cool?
I don't know. He's just cool, calm, collective all the time. But he, I mean, of course, he means business, and he's great at what he does. That's obvious. But what people don't see is that's. I mean, he's a cool guy. You know what I mean?
He's a nice guy, too. Genuinely nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Easy, Schefter.
Settle down, boy. Thank you.
What makes him cool?
Okay.
You tell me what's so cool.
What makes him cool, Trent? What makes him cool?
He's a nice guy, too.
Just pressing
him. Genuine. A number one. Wait, haven't we heard this from Schefter before?
A-plus, 10 kind of guy.
A-plus, 10 kind of guy.
I'm told that genuineness shine through.
Wow. Wow.
Which is great. We all love Tom Brady. So does
he's
Adam
a nice
Schefter.
Guy, too. Genuinely nice.
Is it?
Genuinely nice.
Fair. Right?
Right? Agree with me, Trent. Damn it, Trent. Agree with me.
Is it fair to say that, like, we all kind of know that? Like, the one thing that we all know Tom is cool.
Well,
like, do we learn anything from Trent Baalbeck saying he's cool?
But you're talking about two guys that have spoken to Tom Brady
face-to-face,
okay. Adam Schefter and Trent Brown. And so there's always people that doubt whether or not someone's a nice guy
because
they appear as a nice guy,
fair.
Right? You know Tom Brady.
If you said one word to describe Tom, I just think most people would say, cool, he's cool. I mean, okay, other than he's a great quarterback, I'm just his personality, he dresses cool. Like, kidding me? I would go by his locker and see what's he got? He's got Jean-Paul Gaultier. Okay, I got to get me some Jean-Paul Gaultier. Oh, he's got a nice little, I mean, he was so.
Do you think he's a nice guy?
I think he's a sweetheart of a guy.
It blows me away how nice of a guy he is.
He's an awesome guy.
What makes him cool, Trent? What makes him cool?
He could be a complete a-hole, and nobody would think, just as a football player, you would think no differently of him. But he's not. That's not who he is. He's actually a nice guy.
He's a really nice guy. Comes from a great family. Youngest of four, right? Three older sisters. Mom and dad are amazing. Like, he has this Clinton-esque, like, you call it the Clinton-esque kind of way about him, in the sense that, like they say, when you meet President Clinton, like, he looks right at you, and you are literally, you could be in a room full of 1,000 people, But if he's talking to you, he's talking to you, man. You know, there's people, I know a lot of people that are like looking around, you know, no. He's Tom Brady. I'll introduce Tom. I've introduced my friends to Tom after Super Bowl. And there's all these people, and he's getting pulled out. Tom, this is my good friend, Matt. This is my good friend here. And he just looks, hey, how do you know Ted? Oh, it's very nice to meet you. Oh, that's awesome. Gosh, it was great talking. I mean, looks, and all of a sudden you leave, you go, greatest guy ever. He just has that ability. When you talk to him, he's looking right at you. He listens to everything you say. And a lot of people don't do that in today's world.
So that is Trent Brown, impending free agent, left tackle for the New England Patriots. And he is, after a year here, going to hit the market. He's on a podcast with Adam Schefter over the weekend, and it sounds like he's driving in his car or something on his Bluetooth. Man, does that drive me crazy. Can you please just sit down and call the man? I mean, you're appearing on Adam Schefter's podcast. Can you at least just stop for a second?
Do you have a...
Just stop for a second.
Oh,
right?
Right?
I did an interview with a receiver for the Texans who was eating at a... While he was having a meal during the conversation at a... Cheesecake Factory. We asked him, I'll think of his name.
Who was it?
It was a wide receiver. I want to say Braxton Miller. And we're like, dude, where are you at? I'm having lunch with my family at the Cheesecake Factory. Couldn't leave the restaurant. Couldn't just find a quiet place to do the interview. It's just the flagship for the Houston Texans. You know?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Like if a Patriots player called us and they were at the Cheesecake Factory, I wouldn't be surprised. Sometimes it sounds like they're at the Cheesecake Factory when they call. Okay. Deion Lewis.
I don't know. You just have a little...
Nate Solder.
More respect for the process. I mean,
Stephon Gilmore sometimes. Like, what's all that noise in the background?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was one thing. He asked Trent Brown about Tom Brady and being a cool guy. But does Trent Brown want to come back to the Patriots? If you've seen the headlines over the weekend... Oh, he wants to come back. He wants to be a Patriot and all this, you know, it's sort of blown up. But here's the actual answer. You can hear it for yourself.
Any chance you're back in New England?
That's definitely something I would love. But, hey, we're going to cross that bridge when we get there.
Business is business, correct?
Yes, sir.
Adam, why don't you just do the interview for him, man?
Jeez. Couple of things in that clip. One, the way Schefter asks the question, you should believe is important. Listen to how we'll play it one more time. Listen to his question. This is the most informed reporter in all of the NFL.
Any chance you're back in New England?
Any chance you're back in New England? Any chance is what he asks. As in, it should be assumed that there's not a great chance that you're back in New England. I don't think Adam Schefter is wrong. And speculating on that. Here's the final cut that we wanted to play. And that is Schefter asking him if any of his teammates have sort of reached out and expressed to him, hey, we want to make sure you're back and we hope you're back. And has it been, you know, Tom Brady, Mr. Cool himself, reaching out? Has it been any other teammates reaching out to talk to him about the offseason?
Is anybody from New England, Tom Brady or Sony Michel or anybody that depends on you doing your job, has anybody come and said to you, Trent, don't go anywhere. We want you here in New England.
I don't think anybody's outright just come out and said it, but
that's a no.
Definitely a small conversation here and there has definitely occurred.
Any chance you get franchise tagged or transition tagged here, Trent?
No.
I don't know.
Has anybody mentioned that to you?
No, sir.
Well, then perhaps you will be the unrestricted free agent that you desire to become here. Right?
Oh, that's painful.
It's so awkward.
Oh, my God.
He's not going
to
be here.
That is so awkward. And that's a podcast. It's supposed to be kind of like chill. Yeah,
relaxed.
Conversational.
Yeah. Relaxed.
Dude, it's like, wow. Yeah, he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. Nope.
He gone. He's gone. And you know what? And he's going to get paid.
Also declared himself the best pass protector in the NFL. I mean, he had a good year.
Same podcast?
Yeah, he had a good year.
Oh my gosh,
he had a good year. I don't want to take that away from him. He I think he exceeded expectations and had a great year. And when it counted the most, played in a big way.
He did play well
down the stretch and in the playoffs. I mean,
he played well.
He played very well. So part of the interview was that he, you know, best pass protector in the game.
He's my guess is there's not a lot of big name left tackles that are going to be on the market this year, so he's going to cash in on money I mean, he had what? Correct me if I'm wrong. He was in San Francisco before this.
Yeah.
And he never was he ever did he was ever an accomplished left tackle for San Francisco? I don't think he was. Right? He comes here, had one great year, and all of a sudden he's going to go get paid a ton of money. And the Patriots, no way, off of 1 year, would say, "Yep. Let's go give you top market value for your position." No way.
The other item from the Patriots over the weekend, Rob Gronkowski showing up at the team's facility, could be getting some rehab, could be getting some treatment, whatever it might be. Should we read into that as him deciding to continue playing? I say no. I say it's whatever it is that's going on there is not going to have a big impact one way or the other, whether it's him leaning to it or away from it. I don't think it's going to have an impact, no matter what he's there for.
Earlier I said, you can read into it. I'd say it's maybe encouraging, but I think at the end of the day, he's already made up his mind. And I say that knowing what I know now. If they come to and ask him to take a reduced contract, then I think he's like, forget it. I don't think he wants to give back any money at all. And it's all going to depend on how they decide to handle his contract, because it's a respect thing at this point, Beetle. He wants respect, and asking him to take a pay cut is disrespectful in his mind.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The money is in on Manny Machado, and there will be a ripple effect. Oh, boy.
Will that settle down Justin Verlander now?
Interesting. Will it?
You got something to say about this?
It should be. It's a damn good start.
Yep.
It's a damn good start. And there are things that we've talked about in recent weeks that we can throw out the window. There are things we talked about an hour ago with Dan Shaughnessy. Or what time was 2 hours ago, almost.
11 o'clock, yep.
Nearly 2 hours ago, that are now gone and out the window. Manny Machado today agreed to a 10-year contract with the San Diego Padres. That deal will pay him $300 million. 10 years, 300, largest contract in the history of American professional sports. Wow. And he gets to go play for the Padres. Gets to live in San Diego. What a life. Ted, you know that life.
It's great.
You
kidding me?
You know that life, Ted.
You got to go check out Manny. Go to the Tamarack Break. Oh, you got to go to the cliffs at Torrey Pines. But you're going to have a good time. Close to Mexico.
What kind of house can you get there in San Diego when you're someone who has an income of $30 million a year?
Oh, you kidding me? Go live next to Phil Mickelson in Rancho Santa Fe. Oh, beautiful. I mean, what are they? Probably Rancho Santa Fe, right by La Jolla, Torrey Pines, I would say is probably a top five in the country as far as most expensive places to play or live. So, Manny, go for it, man. You're going to live a good life there in San Diego, brother.
Ted Johnson in for Zoe today. Zoe has a tweet on the matter. Zoe's chiming in from parts unknown. $300 million, 10 years to play in laid-back San Diego. The American dream, says Zoe. $300 million to play in San Diego.
You think Manny Machado has, sitting there going, gosh, I'm signing with the team that historically has really zero, moves the meter, doesn't move the meter at all, has no chance of maybe, going to the World Series on any consistent basis. You think he's worried about that? No. He doesn't strike me as a guy. That guy strikes me as a guy that just wants to get his and leave me the hell alone.
So,
and that's the perfect place to go.
10 years, $300 million. He gets paid a boatload of cash. The Padres are getting better. They have good young talent. For the second consecutive year, as of right now, they've got the biggest free agent signing, monetarily speaking. Last year was Hosmer. This year, it's, to this point, Machado. So they've spent money. They've got some good young talent. They've got top prospects. They've got a ton of top prospects. Their farm system is very strong. So they could be putting together something here in San Diego where they could also be a good team. He might have that going for him too. But now here comes the bad news. We talked with Dan Shaughnessy at 11 o'clock about the possibility of the Red Sox trying to approach guys like Xander Bogaerts, given that the market is so depressed at the moment, and trying to get a deal done. Now, he's a Boris guy. I don't think there'd be a great chance of it happening, but at least you can make an attempt. Now, forget it. Forget it.
It's over.
And if you're J.D. Martinez, we talked about J.D. Martinez today. You know, at 32 years old, is he going to opt out? And is there going to be a lot of money there? Is there going to be teams lining up to pay J.D. Martinez? Looks like maybe.
I think so.
Looks like there might be some teams willing to pay him on that market now. This has, to me, I know it's only one player, and you can't overreact to one singular deal. But this sort of changes your view of the market. Well, guess what? Teams are still paying. At least one team is. Does that solve all the issues? Does that solve that there are so many other players unsigned and that this has been a horrible look for the sport? No, I don't think it does. So Justin Verlander should feel a little bit better today.
Yeah, he should. I would think.
But the problem is still not resolved.
Bryce Harper's still out there.
Unless
right?
Bryce Harper signs a similar deal today and guys like Craig Kimbrell get mm-hmm. their long-term deal with big money. So there's more dominoes to fall before you can say, hey, it wasn't so bad after all, but this is a great place to start.
Yeah.
10 years, $300 million. And that changes a lot of things if this is representative of a competitive market for his services. If it means that there were three other teams, if the Phillies and the Yankees and other teams were in the ballpark but weren't quite $300 million, that means you've got other teams that were making significant offers. Or did the Padres just outbid everybody by $100 million, right? I have a hard time believing that was the case. I do. So I'm going to assume for the time being until I hear something else that this is representative of what was a competitive market for Manny Machado. You got something on that?
Yeah, so there's a report out. The White Sox are very surprised. Apparently, Kenny Williams saying the White Sox felt they were the high offer on the table. Quote, I'm wearing my shades so you can't see the shock in my eyes.
So he's claiming they offered more.
Yeah.
Without saying it directly. We thought, so is he shocked that he took less or shocked that the Padres' offer was so much higher from his offer that he thought was the best?
See, that's a fair point, too.
It could be either one.
He thought that they
were. It could be either one. He's saying, I'm shocked. Well, are you shocked that they beat you by so much? Or are you shocked that you got beat by a lesser offer?
I feel it's the latter. I feel it's the second one.
So you think they offered more than 300 and they're stunned that he didn't pick them?
See, yeah. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know if you kind of look at the both franchises, I mean, aren't very good. They haven't been. And maybe there's more talent on San Diego, and it's in San Diego. Have you been to Chicago this time of year? Not that great.
Oh, yeah, it's way better in San Diego at all times of the year.
You got that right.
I'm sorry. Like, yeah, Chicago's a great city. I love Chicago. Would you rather, in the middle of summer, would you rather be in Chicago or San Diego?
San Diego,
it's
brother.
Still San Diego. San Diego will always be the answer.
And if you're telling me they have young pieces, that maybe there's something there. Maybe, you know, so that's. That would be an allure, right? I don't think. I mean, the White Sox, from what I know, don't have a roster that's all that inspiring.
So I'm going to take it as a sign of the market bouncing back, teams starting to spend money. I think it's
they're positive waiting later to spend it though.
That a small market team came through with such a big type of offer. By the way, the Padres are going back to their brown unis next
Love
season,
it.
Not this season, but next season. They're ditching all the navy blue and the white, and they're going back to their old uniforms. They're switching back to the brown and gold color scheme next year.
I'm like Zoe, big uniform guy. Love it.
Big uniform guy.
Big uniform guy. Right here. Right in Zoe's chair.
So then I just think, oh, no, what does this mean for J.D. Martinez? What does it mean for Xander Bogaerts? What does it mean for a guy like Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts must be thrilled seeing this. Oh, Manny Machado got 10 years and $300 million? I could get that, right? Mookie Betts must be thrilled. Chris Sale, if he has a bounce-back year and there's big money being spent again, that's huge news for him. It's not good news for the Red Sox.
Red Sox ownership are throwing up in their mouths right now. Throwing up in their mouths right now when they see this news. Like, you really, Padres? Really? Now you want to be, you know, big game hunters?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.